Who's had a good week? Have I had a good week? No good weeks? Maybe a good week? How about a maybe good week? Maybe halfway? Halfway? A terrible week? Anyone terrible? Any terribles? All seasons? Life? Yeah, that's life. That's me. This is just life. It's always good to be in the house. It's always good to see your beautiful face. I missed you guys last week. It was so awkward. Like I was telling Marcus when we were over at another church, and I was like, wow, this feels so different. Like, it makes me miss home more. Nothing beats home. I don't know. Like, it just love seeing you guys' faces, but just something about the presence of God in our house just makes a big difference. Everyone's quiet today. You right? Is everyone all right? Yeah? You got to talk to me this morning. You have to go, yeah. Daylight savings, I know you lost an hour. Okay? I know you lost an hour, but come on. You should have went an hour to sleep an hour early. I did. Like I went, I was like, oh yeah, it's 9 o'clock. It's actually 10 o'clock. So I'm going to go sleep now. But did I go sleep? No, I didn't. I went to sleep about 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. that phone, eh? When you have your phone in bed, it's bad. You get in the rabbit hole of YouTube or something, like, or TikTok or Instagram or Facebook. Oh, man, dangerous. Dangerous. Well, today, oh, man, I'm excited about the series that we're about to start this week. We're starting a series called The Fruit of the Spirit. The Fruit of the Spirit. Say Spirit. Okay, one person. Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit. And over the next 8 weeks, we are going to be really digging deep on the fruit of the Spirit. And you notice that I said fruit, not fruits. Are you guys all right? Fruit of the Spirit. Because it's like, I imagine the fruit of the Spirit like an orange. Like every part of the orange, you know, like when you open the orange, you can break it out into pieces. That's like the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm excited to go through the 8 weeks with you guys of the fruit of the Spirit. So we're going to, like, I think next week is love. We got Take Five next week. We got two amazing people doing Take Five next week, and they're going to be hounding into love. And then we're going to go for joy. We're going to go for every fruit of the Spirit for the next 8 weeks. Who's excited? I'm excited. I'm excited because we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and like, oh yeah, you got to make sure they have the fruit of the Spirit. But people don't understand what love is or what joy is, what patience is, kindness, goodness, self-control. We know of the Word, but we don't really understand the Spirit behind the fruit of the Spirit. But before we start to understand the nine fruits, the specific fruit of the Spirit, we first need to understand why walking in the Spirit is important in our journey with God. Because it's cool to say, oh yeah, the fruit of the Spirit, but why do we have to walk in the Spirit? Have you ever asked that question? No one asked that question? Or do you just take face value of what the preacher says? Walk in the Spirit. Yeah, cool, Pastor. Yeah, cool. But you don't really know what that means. What does that mean? Are you right? Like, I know that when preachers preach, you're like, oh yeah, that sounds so good. But it needs to move from sounding good to revelation, to where we outwork what has been said. Because we can't say, oh, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Cool, love, what does it mean? Because when we go through love, we understand that love's not an emotion. I don't want to go through love today, okay? But I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? Like, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we just take it at face value. But every nine specific fruit is there for a specific reason. Are we okay? Are you following me? Everyone all right? So today I'm not going to take long. I'm going to paint an overview. Overview for the next 8 weeks so that we can have like a kind of good foundational base where we can start off when we start going through love, joy, peace, patience. In Galatians 5:25, if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to it. If you don't have your Bibles, buy one. If you don't want to buy one, talk to your neighbor and say, can you buy me one? Or you can download it on your phone. The TV screen should be a backup, not your main source. Are we all right? Are you okay? Okay. Galatians 5:25 says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This verse infers that the Spirit, if the Spirit was there when our new life of Christ began, then the Spirit should continue to be present for the rest of our lives. So meaning this, to live in the Spirit is a state of being. But that state cannot be done by our works, but by Christ's blood and through the power of the Holy Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I want to continue. Titus 3:5 says this. He saved us. Who saved us? Jesus. Are we right? Are we reading the same Bible? Hello. So, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of who? His mercy. It was his mercy that we were saved. He washed our sins away, giving us a new birth and a new life through who? The Holy Spirit. So the moment that you received Christ in your life was the moment that you received the Holy Spirit. But God says, if you live in the Spirit, also walk in it. So if you have Holy Spirit within you, don't keep it within you, but walk with him. Because we have a lot of dormant Christians who have been saved and love Jesus, but just sit and just live. Are we okay? But God wants us not only to live a Spirit life, but walk a Spirit life. Are we okay this morning? And if you don't know Jesus, I hope you get to know Jesus throughout this. But God wants us to walk in the Spirit. So what is walking in the Spirit? It's two things. Two basic things out of anything I want you to remember is this. Walking in the Spirit is being this. Being led by the Spirit. Being led by who? The Holy Spirit. So walking in the Spirit is being led by him. And the second thing is this. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit. So we're not only being led by him, but we're also bearing fruit. Are we okay this morning? Are we okay? Yeah. It is by our fruits that people shall know us. And so walking in the Spirit is being led by him, being led by the Holy Spirit, but it's also bearing the fruits of the Spirit. I remember when I walked away from God and came back to God, I went through a year of repentance. You might be going to me, a year? It took me a year for the fruit of repentance to come out. It took me a year for me to really know what love is, the fruit of love is. I remember I came back to God, came back to my parents, and my mom challenged me, and I remember it was in her office, and I'm like, sorry, mom, blah, 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 sorry. You know how kids say sorry, sorry? And she keeps saying, Jordan, I haven't seen the fruit of it. You say all this stuff, but where's the fruit of what you're saying? And I remember I went through a journey of a year going through this outworking and inworking on myself to not only repent, but also to forgive. Not only forgive people outside of me, but forgive me. How many of you know, like, the hardest person to forgive is yourself? Are you right? Like, it's easy to forgive somebody else, but when it comes to you, you're like your biggest critic. And walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, bearing the fruits of the Spirit, literally took me a year to really hone into what that really means to me. Like, you can't just go, like, we receive Christ, cool. But being led by the Spirit takes time, takes relationship, takes word time, takes prayer time, takes connect groups. Like, all this has a function to play, being led by the Spirit. I'm not too sure about you, but God doesn't talk to me in my ear. Are you right? Like, some people get impressions. Some people, like, read the Bible, and have you ever a moment where a word just, like, pops out at you? Like, bleh. That's the Spirit talking. But it took me a long time to get to that place, being led by the Spirit. And for us to really outwork and really understand the nine fruits, the fruit that God put in Galatians 5, we need to understand first that we have Holy Spirit in us. Holy Spirit wants to work in us, but He also wants to work through us. And so it's more than just coming to church and being spirit to spirit where we come and connect with each other. But God's saying, yeah, that's cool, coming to church, fellowshipping. But can you take what you have in here outside there? Are we okay? And so I want to ask us a question this morning. Why is it crucial or critical for us to walk in the Spirit? Why is it critical? Why do we have to? And it explains it in Galatians 5:16. I want to read from the Amplified. I don't really go to the Amplified much, but the Amplified version really explains this really well. And it says this in verse 16, "But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desires of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts." Can I read that again? "But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance." So Holy Spirit's guiding us, but we have to be responsive to His guiding. Are we okay? And then it goes, "Then you will certainly not carry out the desires of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts." So in short, I put it like this. When we walk in the Spirit, we will overcome the desires of our flesh. I want you to realize this. When we walk in the Spirit, we will overcome the desires of our flesh. The Bible says, "And then you will certainly not carry out." That's a promise. That's a guarantee if we walk in the what? Spirit. Flesh in this context is not specifically the body, but it's anything that is of the old man or the old nature. Who remembers the old man or old nature? I remember what I used to do. Old man being what you used to do and how you think. And you know what? Whether you realize or not, there's this constant tug of war inside of you. Have you ever noticed that? When you want to do something right, but you do something wrong, like there's this like tug of war that's inside of you. You're like, you know what to do. You know what God said, but for some reason, you do something else. Has anyone been there? Oh, like Paul explains it like really well. The way Paul explains his tug of war, he's like so honest when he writes scripture. But I'm like, oh man, isn't that all of us? We're going through this constant tug of war. And Paul explains it in Galatians 5. Like before we even get to the fruit of the Spirit, Paul explains all this stuff. And in verse 17, it says this, "For what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants." That's plain and simple. What our flesh want, what our own desires want, is opposite to what the Spirit wants. And then it continues to say, "And what the Spirit wants is opposed to what human nature wants." Are you following? Like there's this tug of war always taking place. That, like our human nature and what the Spirit wants. Like there's like this tug of war. And it says, "These two are enemies." I don't want to dull this down or anything. I'm just going to put it simple. These two are enemies. It's either you're born of God or you're not. Are we okay? The Bible puts it like this. It's either we're sons of God or sons of the devil. There's this tug of war taking place. These two are enemies, and this means that you cannot do what you want to do. And so the lesson we see in this is that we Christians will go through struggles within. And if you can't admit that you're going through struggles within, if you cannot admit that you're going through this tug of war, you will never ever experience fully what walking in the Spirit means. Are we okay? Can I talk to me this morning? Yeah. I put it like this. though our desire is not to have the struggle, are you right? Though the desire is not to have the struggle, but to always walk in the Spirit, but the truth of the matter is this, there's always a tug of war taking place in here. Even though we desire to walk in the Spirit constantly and always be all good, my Christian walk, but there is a tug of war always taking place in here. And that's the truth. But I believe this is a great sign of the Spirit working in you when there's a tug of war. Why? Why is it? Why is it a good thing, Jordan? You might be going, Jordan, why is it a good thing? It's a good thing because of this. Because the Spirit's working in you. If there's no tug of war, you're leaning to something. I can't remember what pastor told us years ago when I was a youth. He said there's two dogs. And he says, one's the flesh, your own desires, human nature, and the other dog is the Spirit. And these two dogs are fighting each other. What you feed will win. So these are always barking at each other like enemies. But what you feed will win. And the question I want to ask you is, which side are you feeding? It's important to understand this, because for us to actually walk out the fruit of the Spirit, we need to know what is walking in the Spirit. We need to understand who we're feeding the most. Because let me tell you, there's moments in my life where I have to stop feeding. Like, you know this human nature thing? Sometimes Jordan gets in the habit of like moving away from this. This is my human nature. Like, I'm not blaming my human nature for my sin or anything. I'm just saying, for some reason, I get pulled this direction. But that's where I need the Holy Spirit's guidance, where I respond to go, no. I remember, I see this every day. Have you ever opened up a laptop? No one's opened a laptop? Have you opened up a computer? Have you ever opened a laptop and then a picture comes up? Like, I go to websites, things pop up constantly. The human nature in me wants to keep staring. The Spirit in me says, close it down. That's never going to go away. Every time I open my laptop, it's always going to be there, because for some reason, internet's just built that way to have silly things where it pushes you away from God. But in that moment, who am I feeding? In that moment, I'm looking, I'm like, shut it down. I know in here, God's saying, shut it down before you start sinning. Are you right? It's behind bus stops, it's on buses, it's on everywhere you see. There's like nudity everywhere. And I can't pretend that it's not there. But what I can do is lean into the Spirit. So every time that temptation or anything that comes in the way of who God is, shut it down. But we only can truly shut it down is if we know who we're feeding. I'm being honest with you. Men struggle a lot when it comes to this. And it's not because we're less than or anything. It's just because the enemy's smart. If he can take a man away from a family, if he can take a man out of being pillars where they should be, he knows that a lot of destruction can take place. But he does that to women too. When a woman gets out of place, oh my goodness. The enemy knows. He knows the tricks. That's cool. I know you know the tricks. But I want to ask us the question. Who are we feeding this morning? Oh, but I come on Sunday to feed the Spirit. No, that's not enough. I got a connect group. That's not enough. There's always this tug of war that's taking place, and it means that we're battling with our flesh, and our flesh and spirits always contending against each other. But can I encourage us this morning? If we really truly want to walk in the Spirit, we need to get closer to God. We have many people, I noticed that when we were away last week, and I just noticed it in general. There's a lot of people close to the pastor, but not close to Jesus. Are we okay? Can I be honest with you? There's a lot of people close to a program in a church than close to Jesus. reason why we put out the fruit of the Spirit this time is because I'm like, God, I want to understand, and I want all of us as a church to be people who walk in the Spirit. Because that's what God's called us to do. To not only live in the Spirit, but also walk by the Spirit. Have you ever been offended when you read the Word of God? Yes? You know that's your flesh coming up and saying, ah, stop reading it. Stop believing it. Have you been, like, I've been offended a lot of times when reading the Word of God. Have you ever been like, oh, I don't want to listen to that? Oh, just me? No one else? Then when God says something in the Bible, love your enemy, for example. When God says, love your enemy, but inside you, you're like, I don't want to love my enemy. And I know, like, when the world looks at, like, love your enemy, and they say, and the Bible says, turn the other cheek and all that, people are like, how can you do that? It's because we're walking in the Spirit. What did Jesus do? Jesus has a perfect example. When Peter had this idea to cut a man's ear, right? And Jesus is like, what are you up to, Peter? Like, just chill out. Oh, you're not going to go, my Lord. And Peter just cuts his ear, and God's like, bro, can you chill? Like, you're always in front. You're not following me. But then he heals his ear. Jesus has showed this perfect way on how he approaches things because he was always in the Spirit. When he addressed the woman who was in front of everybody and they were like, whoever cast the first stone? You know, the story here? And Jesus is like, well, if you haven't sinned, throw the stone. And he's like, oh, no, I've sinned, blah, blah, blah. Jesus is like, where's your accusers? Where's your accusers? She's like, I don't see none, my Lord. Then go, sin no more. Christ had this love that is unexplainable, but it is explainable because he was walking in the Spirit, because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because we always think of Jesus being God. Yes, he was God, but he was also fully man. So he didn't have all his superior authority that he left in heaven. He said he left it in heaven and he came down as a man, fully God, fully man. And so he displayed love in a way that cannot be done by man's own doing, but by the Spirit of God. Everything that Jesus did was done by the Holy Spirit. Are we okay? And so I've been offended by the times, like many times when reading the Bible, and other times I get angry. Have you ever got angry when you read the Word of God? No one? Just me? Okay. Frustrated. Frustrated because I can't understand what he's saying. There are other times that where my old nature wants to resurrect itself. Have you been in that place? Where the old nature, the old self, the old mindset wants to resurrect itself. But can I tell you, by the end of the day, we have victory through the power of the Holy Spirit. So even though these pictures come up on my laptop, if I could be searching like stuff for the tech stuff, like when I do for work, I look for stuff and then all of a sudden this picture comes up. Just random. I'm like, what's up with you, Google? Like, it happens a lot. Like, it's normal. Even on my phone, it does the same thing. I always help like with my dad because my dad's not tech savvy. And like the stuff just like pops up and I'm like delete, trying to like thingy. But we all go through this thing where we have this tug of war where our old nature tries to resurrect itself. But the thing is, we have victory in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the thing is this, victory is already ours when we are walking in the Spirit. It's not a maybe. It's not, anything. If you are walking in the Spirit, you will always have victory. Verse 16. Can we go back to Galatians 5:16? Walk habitually, like persistently, in the Holy Spirit and seek Him. And be responsive to his guidance, and then you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. Then you will not. It's a promise, guys. When we walk in the Spirit, when we lean into the Holy Spirit, when we be guided by the Holy Spirit, we will overcome the desires of our flesh. And if you're noticing you're giving into your flesh, you need to really look at, who am I feeding? Because every time I know I'm in the wrong place is when my old self tries to get up. When my mind starts getting into a wrong place, I'm like, damn, Jordan, get back into your word. Because Romans 12, let's read that. Let's read Romans 12. It's cool if I had the Bible. Where's my Bible? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The reason why we can overcome sin, the reason why we can overcome the flesh, is only because of the Holy Spirit working in us. Not because of a good sermon, not because of a podcast, not because of a book, but because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do so. But then we have to look at the opposite. What happens when we don't walk in the Spirit? Have you ever asked yourself that? What happens if I don't walk in it? It says in Galatians 5:19. It's plain. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you might be going, why is it important for me to walk in the Spirit? Because then these desires don't come up. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. When we don't walk in the Spirit, this is the result of what happens next. The reason why the world is like is because that people are not walking in the Spirit and don't have a relationship with Jesus. So in turn, it's very clear that the results are these. Are we okay this morning? And with all this sexual morality, impurity, lustful pleasure, all of this brings destruction and death. Are we okay? That's the truth. If we don't walk in the Spirit, or if you don't learn to and lean into the Holy Spirit, everything else will lean into destruction and death. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But Christ says he's overcome the world, so we can overcome the world. But how can we overcome the world if we don't lean into the Spirit? Christ says we can do more than what he could ever do. How can we do that? Through the Holy Spirit. Not by the knowledge, not by how much we know about the Bible, but through the Spirit. And so walking in the Spirit is not only vital for our walk, but it's critical. Because if we don't, the results will be sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. Do you wonder why that so many pastors throughout the world get so caught up in sexual morality, impurity, and lustful pleasures? It's because they stop walking by the Spirit. Do you know the reason why the church across the world has the highest divorce rate? It's because they're not walking in the Spirit. They come to church and attend, but don't walk in the Spirit. The reason why we have so much fatherlessness in the world is because we've got many men not walking in the Spirit. The reason why mothers do abandon is because they stop walking in the Spirit. Because the results are this: sexual morality, impurity, lustful pleasures, your own desires, your own wants. And it's not just critical, I think it's life and death for us to walk in the Spirit. Because if you're starting to see these things, sexual morality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry. Idolatry is not just a calf in your house, okay, guys? It's anything that you put before God is idolatry. So if there's something in your life that you're putting before God, it's idolatry. Sorcery, hostility, quarreling. Hello, quarreling. It's one of them. Jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, other sins like this will never inherit the kingdom of God. James 1 says this in verse 14. Temptation comes from our own desire, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. You might be going, oh, Jordan, this is like so like, ugh. But it's the truth when we don't walk in the Spirit. If we stop walking in the Spirit, it's only going to lead us to death. Because in Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. But before that, it talks about what happens when you don't walk in the Spirit. And to me, I'm like, it's either or. Are you right? Like, to me, I'm either walking by the fruit of the Spirit where God wants us to be, or I'm walking with my own pleasures and desires. It's either or. It's not fruit of the Spirit, sexual pleasures and all that, and then there's a middle ground. No, there's no middle ground. It's either or. And I come to this conclusion that there's nothing pleasant in following and listening to the flesh. There's nothing good that comes out listening and following the flesh. And so if that is true, then why aren't we more leaning into walking in the Spirit? You know what? I think everybody in here knows Jesus, right? Yeah, everyone knows Jesus. Everyone has Holy Spirit within them? Yeah, cool. But Holy Spirit doesn't want to just sit here. He wants to guide you. He wants to guide you. You know why he wants to guide you? Because salvation is not just for yourself. Salvation is for everyone else. We have too many in here Christians. And all their idea, which is okay. I'm not saying if you believe this, it's fine. But you're okay just coming to church and going to heaven. But let me tell you this. You're missing the most vital part on what Jesus did here on earth, if you're just here to go love Jesus and go to heaven. What did Jesus do every time that he was around people? He didn't just perform miracles and wonders, but what he did was he showed God in a loving, kind way. Every time Jesus moved, what did it say before he moved? He had compassion. Can I encourage us this morning as we go through the next 8 weeks and really diving into love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control and all that? When we go through that, can we be open enough to say, God, can you teach me how to love better? Can you teach me how to have joy in my life? Because the fruit of the Spirit is not just for a church service, but it's for our everyday life. He wants that fruit to be everywhere we go. When our SA family go to SA again, fruit of the Spirit's there. When you go to work, the fruit of the Spirit's there. When you go to home, the fruit of the Spirit's there. He doesn't just want it in a church service, but he wants it everywhere in our lives. But we have to be open for the Holy Spirit to help navigate our thoughts and help navigate our actions. Because you know when you get saved, yeah, that's cool. There's a transformation in, but then God's slowly changing the way you speak. Man, I remember someone got saved here a long time ago. And he was like, I don't know if I should say this. Can we pause the thing? But like, he was saying, oh God, I love you. And he was like swearing about his salvation that God saved him. And to everybody like, oh, that's not, nah, he's not saved. No, but that's all he knows because he hasn't transformed this yet. And he is transformed, but this is changing. And so we have to be aware too. You may be saved, but this hasn't changed. You may be saved, but this hasn't changed. And so what walking in the Spirit does, changes this, changes this, it changes this, it changes this. No longer do you look, oh, like depressing that, but for some reason, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Like you, there's something about you that when you walk into a room, before it was yuck and icky, but for some reason, when you walk in the room, the atmosphere changes. Why? Because you're walking in the Spirit. And so as we go throughout the 9 weeks, allow God to change this. Allow God to change this. Allow God to change this. Your steps. So I want us to do this prayer together. As we go through this journey of this next 8 weeks, I don't know what it looks like. But all I know is that we're going to have not only a deeper understanding of the fruit of the Spirit, but I believe that this church is going to walk out the fruit of the Spirit like never before. Are we all right? So pray with me for this. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us surrender and trust in you in every moment of every day. We know that sin leads us to death, but we thank you that walking in the Spirit gives us victory. Continue to help me. Continue to guide me. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen.